Turn to the book of 2 Kings, Old Testament, 2 Kings, and chapter number 13. The book of 2 Kings, chapter number 13. We are thankful that you are here today. And looking around, I don't see anyone that's visiting with us per se. Stephanie is here, and we're glad that you're here. And so, Claire and William, I'm sorry, William, it just wouldn't come to me. So, they're here all the way from Mississippi, but they're not really visitors. They're just part of us that's go astray to Mississippi every now and then and stay over there for a while. But anyway, we're glad y'all are here. And each of you, we're thankful for an opportunity to worship together. 2 Kings chapter 13, and we'll begin reading there in verse number 14. 2 Kings 13, verse 14. If you're able to stand with us as we read, please. Now Elisha was fallen sick of the sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Israel till thou hadst consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Israel but thrice. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for your love and for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you, Father, for being our God and help and strength always. Good times and bad, hard times, and the times, Lord, when we just are enjoying life. Lord, we thank you that you know our hearts. We thank you, Father, that you know what we need before that we ask. But Lord, we realize that your word teaches us to ask, to pray, to seek your face, to knock on the door. Lord, I pray that you would just teach us more about that. You teach us more about the pursuit of your will and your purpose in our life. Lord, I ask you today for every person that is here. Lord, may your Spirit help us as we look into this portion of your word. Lord, would you grant to us understanding? Would you grant to us the ability to hear what you're saying to us individually and collectively as a church family. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that's lost, that, Lord, you would move in their hearts and lives and cause them to see their sin exceedingly sinful. Lord, give them a hatred for their sin and a love for you. Give them the ability, Lord, to trust you in faith and to turn from their own ways and repent. And Father, I pray that as they believe upon you, that you would birth them into your dear kingdom family. Save them. Lord, I pray that for those that are here, that are backslidden, that today would be a day, Lord, when you would call them back. They'd renew their commitment. And Lord, they would know your joy and your victory in their life. God, I'm asking you today, do a work way down deep in our hearts. We need you today. Lord, for all who are tired of being defeated, Lord, call us to that commitment that you'd have from us and teach us how to live it. Father, we pray now that Satan would not be able to snatch away any word that is spoken to bring honor to you, and to conform our lives to your will. And we'll give you praise for what you do. Seated. The cost of victory. The cost of victory. As we look into this portion, it seems somewhat of a strange story and storyline in this. But I want us to just kind of dive into it and just think about our relationship with the Lord. For our life in Christ and where we are today, the cost of victory. When we pick up in this passage of Scripture, as in so much of the book of Kings and Chronicles in the Old Testament, we are, of course, focusing on the Hebrew people, and in particular here the people of the Kingdom of Israel. And their king, and we are featuring here also in this, as God's word brings out about Elisha. Now, I want to just point out, first of all, this is the first time that we hear from Elisha in almost 40 years span of the Scripture here. So Elisha, that great prophet of God that followed Elijah and mighty works and powerful works of God, all of a sudden now, he's been silent for a period of time, and he is right at death's door. He is an old man by now, and he has become sick, and the Scripture makes it plain this is a sickness that he will die with. But in that, we find that there is a king of Israel here, that northern kingdom, Israel, that he has heard of the sickness of this old man, this old prophet of God, but he knows the value of the word of God coming through this man of God, Elisha. So he goes to him. Now, he goes to him in his broken state, and he begins to cry and weep over him, knowing that this man of God had such a contribution to the Hebrew people, to Israel. And so he comes and he weeps over him, and he makes a statement here. Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He recognizes this prophet as one who who has authority, and he represents as the prophet, the man of God. He represents the power of God in the nation. So that's what he's talking about, the chariot or the horseman. He's talking about the power of a nation here. He's referencing this man of God. He's recognizing God's power through him and the benefit that it has for his kingdom that God has appointed him king over. So he comes and he weeps over him and he acknowledges his authority and his power. Now understand that just like so much of the Old Testament, we find that there is this enemy that's always against Israel. It's always against the people of God. And in this particular case, here's the Syrians. And the Syrians are always badgering. They're always capturing cities, and they're always raiding bands that's going out of Syria. And there's a constant war that's going on between Israel and Syria. And so... He recognizes that he needs God's power, he needs God's leadership, he needs God's authority to rule over the nation and be able to stand in the face of this enemy, to have some victory in the face of this enemy. So naturally, even though that we haven't seen from the scripture for some 40 years about Elisha, Elisha is still a powerful force within the country and within the nation. And this king recognizes that, and he sees him sick. And so he's coming to him and he's wanting advice. He's wanting to know. He's desiring something of this old prophet that he might be able to continue to lead the people and to have victory over the enemy. So as he comes and he acknowledges this man of God, Elisha says to him, take bow and arrows. Now, obviously, there's some conversation here, and understand that's the way that Scripture is. There's probably some conversation here that goes on between the king of Israel, Joash, and this prophet of God, Elisha. There's probably some conversation that's going on that's not recorded here. But in either case, God gives this prophet insight into the very need that Joash has. And so Elisha begins to give Joash some instructions here, as the word of God always does. Amen. And so he gives him some instruction, but it's a little different. It's a little different here. It says he wants him to physically do something. He says, take a bow and get some arrows. And so the scripture said that Joash did that. He took unto him a bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. If you can just catch a glimpse of that, if you can just picture this for a moment. Now here's a young king, and all of his physical stamina, with his charisma, with his ability to relate and to do and to work and to go and to rule over a kingdom, and he comes to this old man, and he begins to seek from him the word of God. And Elisha tells him, get a bow and get some arrows. And so, not understanding, he gets the bow and he gets the arrows, and if I could just kind of paint the picture for you a minute, he grabs a hold of that bow, and here's this old man that somehow or another makes his way, maybe out of the bed that he was in or the couch that he was sitting on, and he makes his way up somehow, and he takes his hand and he begins to put it on the hand of the king. And I am reminded of the value of having godly people simply put their hands on us and impart to us the word of God, or to pray for us in the Spirit of God. And I can see this man of God as he puts his hand over this vibrant king of Israel. He puts his hand on his hand, and they grasp the bow. And he says, that window there, the window that looks out toward the east, The window that looks out toward the raiding bands of Syria. Raise it up. Open it up. Now, I'm sure it wasn't windows where they raised up, but open it up. Open up those shutters that are on it. And so he reaches out there and he pushes the shutters open. Now, he begins to give him some instruction. And he said, as he opened it, Elisha said to him, shoot. And he loads up an arrow. And the old man of God still got his hands on him. And he reaches and he draws that thing back. And he holds it steady. And the man of God says, shoot. And he turns it. And the arrow flies out the window, and it flies toward the east, and it flies toward Syria. And the man of God says, the arrow of God's deliverance. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. The arrow of deliverance from Syria. And thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek until thou hast consumed them. Now, if we would go back, we could find where that Aphek was a sort of a refuge for the raiding bands and for Syria to go back. So he said, you're going to go right in their stronghold, and you're going to begin to consume them. This is symbolic here. This arrow, it wasn't anything special about the arrow. It wasn't anything about the bow. It wasn't really anything about the action. It wasn't anything really about the window that was facing eastward except for the direction that it was. But wasn't anything about, there wasn't any special magical power in any of that. But he did it as a picture. He did it as a symbol for this king, that he would know that God and God only would bring him to a victory over his enemy. It's symbolic here. And as that arrow flies out that window and eventually somewhere hits the ground, the man of God pronounces him as one who has deliverance. One who would be victorious over the enemy. How? By God. What was the whole essence of this? It was about obedience. It was about hearing the word of God through the man of God and obeying it and to do what God had called him to do. And as he did that, the power of God was coming upon him. He says, you're going to have deliverance. You're going to have deliverance. I'm reminded that as we hear the word of God, as we have the power, as we hear the message of the gospel that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit into our lives, I'm reminded as the gospel message teaches us that we're all sinners and we have all come short of the glory of God, and we have sinned against him in horrendous ways, the God of the universe, but yet he had sent his son Jesus Christ to die in our place, having lived a sinless life, dying a sinner's death, that he was buried in the grave, and on the third day he was raised from the grave. And if you will believe with all of your heart and confess the Lord Jesus and turn from your sins, you shall be saved. Amen. It's the word of God. And it's still new and it's still powerful and it's still relevant for us today. It is God's deliverance, and he delivers us over the power and the dominion of sin, and the dominion of death shall no more reign over us, but we shall live in the deliverance of God and live for eternity. Amen? What is it? Is it about something that we do? Is it about our works? No, we're saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Understand, it's not about what we do. The deliverance that Joash was going to experience from God here didn't have anything to do with that bow and that arrow. It didn't have anything to do with the window. It had the obedience to the word. It is our obedience to the call of God, but it is the power of God that works in us deliverance. Amen. It's the power of God that works in us to give us victory. so having filled and known that the Word of God working in his life, now all of a sudden there's a little further instruction. Well, isn't that the way the Word of God is? Amen. He saves us, but guess what? He didn't just save us and say, okay, now you are freed from the penalty of sin. You are freed from the power of sin, so just go on and live your life. No. The whole New Testament, Paul's writings and on through the New Testament, it talks about an instruction, a manual, if you will, for us to know the will of God, for us to know the character of God, to give us the knowledge that we need of Him to be able to grow spiritually and to be able to experience that continual victory that we have won through Christ Jesus. So the man of God didn't stop. What did he do? Get some more arrows. Now, when he says here, take the arrows, what he's saying to them is take all the arrows. That's implied here. Take all the arrows. And so he took the arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. Now, that's King James Version of what? Shoot them in the ground. Shoot them in the ground. Now, this has to be utterly ridiculous. Right? Shoot the arrows in the ground. Don't see. You know what, friends? Sometimes when we get so excited when God has saved us, and if you're saved today, you just know. You just know the deliverance of God, and you know the forgiveness of sin, and you know the weight that is lifted off of you, and you know the joy of the Lord that comes in your heart, and you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have a relationship with God, and that He is in you, and you are in Him, and you are one together with Him through Christ Jesus. Listen, you can know that, amen? And it's awesome. It's awesome in our life. But you know what? We don't just float through our lives on that spiritual high. We don't just continue to live on that spiritual high. But there's some more instruction from the Word of God. And sometimes those instructions just do not make sense to us. Or we don't understand why that they are there. Or we don't understand why God is requiring things of us. Or we don't understand why the Word of God is saying what it says to us. And it doesn't make sense. And it didn't make much sense here to Joash when the king told him, when the prophet told him, take all the arrows and shoot them in the ground. Didn't make any sense. But nonetheless, he takes an arrow and he shoots it in the ground. And he takes another arrow and he shoots it in the ground. And he takes the third arrow and he shoots it in the ground. And having done this, he thinks, well, this probably don't make much sense, and surely this is enough. Now, here's the next picture that I want you to see. I want you to see this king having experienced the Word of God and having heard that prophet of God, having felt His hand upon him and upon that bow, and having seen that arrow fly out that window, and hearing that old prophet say, the deliverance of God, the deliverance from Syria. Well, having felt that, feeling his stamina, and feeling all that he was, and knowing and experiencing the moment, and now the prophet has told him, take all the arrows and shoot them in the ground. And he shot one, two, three times, and he's feeling kind of good about what he's done, and thinking, that's enough. That's enough. Surely it's enough. Well, I've got to have some of these arrows in case the enemy comes. I've got to have some of these. I got to have a little assurance here. I got to have a little insurance. I got to reserve a little back here. There's no use in just wasting all my arrows, shooting them in the ground. After all, that'd probably dull the point. Besides that, it just doesn't make sense just to shoot all of these arrows in the ground. And so having reasoned it all out in his mind, he stopped. He stopped. And somehow or another, in his mind, he justified not shooting the rest of the arrows. Somehow or another, in his mind, he felt pretty good about what he had done. Somehow or another, he felt pretty good about the whole experience, and so he just stopped. And he said, thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times, then hast thou smitten is Syria till thou hast consumed it. Now listen, he's already pronounced deliverance over Syria. He's already promised them that he would go to one particular place and consume the enemy there. And then he tells him to shoot all those arrows, and he shoots 3 times and stops, and he feels pretty good about it. And then the prophet is mad at him. I said, you should have shot them all. You should have shot them all into the ground. However many you have, 5 or 6, whatever it is, doesn't make any difference. Shoot them all. That's what you should have done. He said, if you had shot them all, then you would have consumed your enemy. Whereas now, thou shalt smite Syria, but 2 or 3 times. You say, well, preacher, where does that lead us? Well, let me show you where it leads us. Many of us want the full benefit of a relationship with God. We want the full power of God working in our life. We want full answers to our prayers. We want full access to the throne of God. We want everything God has for us that would benefit us, but we want to do it on a half-hearted commitment. Hello? We want to shoot half our arrows in the ground. We want to be halfway compliant to God. We want to do part of what God has told us, but we're expecting God to shower down on us all of his blessings of that relationship. Hello, are y'all with me? Anybody follow me? Here's what happens. We reason it out. I'm saved. I belong to God. Friends, I talk to people all over, all the time, living like the devil. I'm saved. Listen, folks want to, and even folks who are saved, holding on to the things of the world, holding on to the things that appease the flesh, things that appeal to the flesh, holding on to what I can get and gain, holding on to pleasure, holding on to relationships, holding on to all sorts of things in life that is not pleasing to God just because I think I need them. But wanting the full benefit of the blessings of God. This is contrary to the Word of God. The Scripture teaches us that we are saved from the dominion of sin, and it teaches us that we are to grow in grace and knowledge of who He is. The Scripture teaches us that we are to commit ourselves to the Lord, but it says that we are a living sacrifice. Friends, we are to present ourselves. It is a continual process. It is not something that we start and stop at will and expect God to bless us. I try to make it a practice in every person that comes and desires to be saved, to make them understand, to explain to them, this is a lifelong commitment. It's not till my health gets better, till my relationship gets better, till my finances get better, until I can sow and do the things I want to do. Listen, friend, it is not till another opportunity comes open. It's not until I desire to do something else. It is everything that we are. We give our life and all that we are. We shoot all our arrows. and we continue to shoot the arrows that God gives us in our life. We continue to obey Him. We continue to do what He's called us to do. And obedience is always blessed of God. This king did a lot of right things. He recognized the benefit of the Word of God. He recognized that this prophet was a man of God, and he came to him. He came to him broken. He came to him seeking. He came there desiring, and he listened to the man of God, and he began to obey the Word of God, and he was moving right along until it got down to the point when the man of God said, okay, just take the arrows and shoot them. Shoot them right in the ground. He didn't tell him to shoot anybody. Hello, are y'all with me? He didn't even tell him to shoot a moving target. It wasn't hard. It wasn't rocket science. Amen. It wasn't. It didn't take a professional, archer? Is that what it's called, Brent? The fellow that shoots the arrows? Yeah, him. It didn't take a professional to do that. He might have been a professional. But you see, it wasn't the skill and ability of shooting arrows, my friend. It was about obedience. God is not looking for a bunch of professional Christians. Hello, are y'all with me? He is looking for those who will obey His Word. He is looking for those who will ask and seek and knock and dig into the Word of God until the power of God moves upon them. And in obedience, they move in passion toward His will. That's who He wants to bless. But the fact is that we have these arrows that we want to hang on to. It's about what I might need in the future. It's about what I have to have right now. Oh, listen to me, folks. Listen. God is expecting total obedience, total commitment, the cost of victory in our life, the cost of living a life that is consistently victorious in Christ Jesus is about a life that is consistently obedient and passionate about the Word of God. But it's not always appeasing and pleasing to the flesh. Because we don't always understand, and it's not always conducive to our minds and to our lives to obey the Word of God. The cost of victory is total commitment. At the time when we think that we cannot give anything because of our circumstances is the time that we need most of all to commit everything. Are you with me? There are some times when we think, you know what, I have all these demands in life, and I don't want to just speak particularly right now. If you're here and you kind of fit the young a married couple to middle-aged era of your life when you are raising children and when you're having to work and you're making your careers and you're making your way in life and you're raising children and maybe you're having to take care of parents and there's just all kinds of weights and concerns upon you and then there's this whole element of the world and what the world expects of you and what's expected of you of other people and all of that, and you think, I am just full. I don't have anything to give to God. I just can't do it right now. This is the time of your life that you need to commit yourself to God as never before. Why? Because the things you're doing are so important, you can't afford not to. Your children are so important to raise, you need to commit them to Christ. My friend, your ability to communicate to them the Word of God needs to come from a total commitment of yourself. At the time when we think we are spent, and when we have nothing to give to God in commitment, friends, that's when we need to say, Lord, I am yours. Lock, stock, and barrel. Amen?
everything. Here I am. Why? Because that's what God blesses. When we shoot all our arrows, when we are in obedience to Him as much as we can possibly know, we obey the Word of God. That's what He blesses. That's how we get into the kingdom of God. That's how we remain victorious in the kingdom of God. When we think we are getting past the flower of our age and we can't do anything like we used to do it, or we can't do it as fast as we used to do it, or we can't do it as much as we used to do it, amen? When we think that we're just kind of spent in our age and spent in our abilities, friends, that's when we need to commit everything to God completely, totally. God, here am I. I don't know what I can do. I don't know how I can do it. I don't know where it's going to come from, but God, it's me. Here it is. You might be surprised at the opportunities that God will give you to serve Him, to be a witness for Him, and to kick the devil in the teeth. Hell, are you with me? That's the reason the Scripture teaches us to keep our boots on. Or sandals, whichever way you like. Amen? Yeah. Every now and then you got to step on the head of the devil. Amen? Listen. When we commit it to God, when we refuse to reserve anything for ourselves and give it all to Him, it's amazing what He does. You know, it's amazing. He gives us time of refreshing. He gives us time to enjoy the resources of life. He gives us time to have some pleasure along the way. Because He knows our needs, amen, even before that we ask. But we don't get the blessings of God by holding out in obedience to what we think is going to be good for us. Our commitment, it's not about legalism. It's not about legalism. Friends, it's about obedience to the Word of God by the Spirit of God empowering you and bringing you in to the will of God and the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. Heard me say this before, but some of us are working ourselves to death to try to get what God wants to give us. We need to learn how to be obedient to Him, how to shoot our arrows just like He tells us to shoot them. Amen? If it's out the window and toward the east, then shoot them that way. If it's straight into the ground, shoot them that way. Amen? But shoot all of them. Don't keep anything back. I don't care if it's our jobs, if it's our children, if it's our finances, if it's our pleasures, if it's our health. It doesn't matter what it is. We commit it all to Him. And in obedience, we follow Him. Why do we feel defeated so many times? Why do we feel dejected so many times? Why do we feel abused so many times? Why would Satan be winning those kind of battles in the Christian's life? It's because we have held it back. Something for ourselves. And when we hold it back, friend, let me tell you something. We just give Satan something to beat us over the head with. Amen? All those arrows that we don't shoot, we just hand it to him. Can He have our heart? No. Can he have our life in Christ? No, but what does he do? He wins the victories through these battles that we face. And we, some of us, we just keep struggling in the same areas over and over and over and over again. Why? We keep holding on to the arrows. We keep proving ourselves. We keep making our way. We're going to be financially successful, or we're going to be successful in raising our children, and we're going to be successful in our marriage, or we're going to be successful in our job. We're going to be successful in all these things, regardless of what God says, but we want his blessings. Are y'all with me? Anybody? We're holding on to those arrows. Time to give them up. Commit it all to Christ. He might let you keep most of them for when you need them. But friends, we have to surrender it all to him. Every one of them. Every one of them. Likes, dislikes, pleasures, desires, doesn't make a difference. We need to surrender it all to him. Let's stand together. The cost in our life is total commitment. And you won't have total commitment without obedience to God. If you're here today and you're lost, you've never been saved, you know, listen. It takes a total commitment to Christ. Come to him. Yield up your life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who paid your sin debt that you cannot pay. If you're lost today, there is nothing, nothing that you can do to be saved except just be obedient. Come to Christ, believe on him, turn from your sin. Yield your life to him. If you're here today and you're saved and you're just one battle right after the other, not knowing victory, it just seems like you're just losing one after the other, and you're wondering, God, where are you? Maybe you need to look at your commitment. Maybe you need to look at what arrows you're holding on to yourself and how tightly you got them gripped, and maybe it's time to just bring those arrows and shoot them right in the ground, right at this altar. And say, Lord, here they are. Every area of my life, it's yours. It's yours. We'll pray with you and pray for you. It's God's work in your life that will save and bring you victory.